P-minus 94. Gravesen Hotel, Buenos Aires, Argentina. President Valerie Slater's suite at the Gravesen Hotel, a building which for her bore unhappy memories of a near miss in the face of a terroristic threat, as well as of challenging summits at the building William Godfrey had used as a base for three distinct contact-focused organizations, was today a scene of more frantic work than was normally the case. While she sat at her main desk area, running through social media meta-analysis data that got worse with every update, British Prime Minister John Cole was working busily on a tasteful and comfortable couch to her left. Few on the outside would have believed this sight if it met their eyes, such was the universal knowledge of the resentment that existed between the English-speaking world's two most powerful national leaders. Today, however, these longtime foes had been brought together by a common enemy. Their current enemy, so to speak, was not so much William Godfrey as the unfillable vacuum left by his sudden disappearance the previous day. Both Slater and Cole had been growing increasingly impatient with the way Godfrey was handling things, with Slater angry that he had clearly come to favor Chinese Premier Ding Xiang, and Cole continually furious that he didn't even seem to feature in Godfrey's mind when it came time to decide who to loop in on the latest alien development. Not just who to loop in first, but to loop in at all. Indeed, despite having devoted countless hours and traded countless favors to win the support of some important domino nations when Godfrey's then-fledgling attempt to break the ICA from its stifling UN framework was floundering in choppy waters, Cole hadn't even been granted a title within the new organization. He was below Terra Ford in the pecking order, which made his blood boil. But that was nothing compared to the anger he felt at being below Slater. But since Godfrey had disappeared from the picture, quite literally, Slater and Cole were being discussed in patronizing and condescending tones from every angle. People felt sorry for them, which was a reaction far worse than hatred and scorn for any politician worth their salt, and neither could easily tolerate such a thing. If and when Godfrey returned from his increasingly inexplicable sojourn to wherever he had been taken, Slater and Cole had agreed to work together to get him out of the picture. A remarkable haul of first-hand evidence from a much-rumored dig site in Turkey currently lay next to Cole on the couch and was set to play a role in damaging Godfrey's public standing by revealing that he had been keeping the truth of ancient alien visitation from the public, in much the same way he had once falsely accused Slater of doing during the tumultuous days in the aftermath of Richard Walker's masterful hoax being enacted and Dan McCarthy's foolhardy leak sending the world into baseless chaos. Dan's whereabouts were as unknown as Godfrey's, with surveillance revealing that the ICA's chief planetary liaison had to have left Buenos Aires in a manner just as alien as Godfrey, albeit with the engagement of his flash-based teleportation having occurred out of public sight. There were certain things that neither Cole nor Slater didn't know they didn't know, with knowledge of the architect's deception on New Kerguelen and the motivation behind it, not to mention the discovery of another gate of their creation at the edge of that planet's atmosphere, yet to make it beyond Dan McCarthy's trusted inner circle. They were playing chess in the dark to that extent. But Slater couldn't help but notice in the much improved depth of Cole's strategizing that he had indeed graduated from playing metaphorical checkers and was now bravely willing to take a seat opposite Grandmaster Godfrey in taking it upon himself to set the agenda and make the first move. Whether or not Godfrey would ever even be back to play a move of his own in return remained to be seen, but patience was running low when it came to finding out. Before too long, some kind of action would be needed. Shortly before Cole rather boastfully informed Slater that he had been behind the threat, which had been called in and locked down their VIP hotel overnight, causing everyone on the premium floors to be evacuated from their rooms while a full sweep was conducted, he had been remarkably and somewhat refreshingly forthright in stating his intention of taking Godfrey's place at the ICA. Even more strongly, Cole had revealed his willingness to burn the whole place to the ground if he couldn't get what he wanted. That John Cole wished for such a position and would stop at nothing to attain it didn't surprise Valerie Slater in the slightest, but that he told her in such explicit terms most certainly had. As theme music on a TV neither of them were paying much attention to announced the end of another half-hour slot, John Cole looked up from his phone. I know we can't jump into a time machine and undo contact, Cole said. As much as I sense both of us would like to do so, given how many problems it's brought our way. But what we can still do here is change course from this current wait-and-see bullshit and pivot towards something more dynamic and positive. Positive was a very relative term Slater knew, and she very much doubted Cole was using it in the sense of doing something nice or good. Nice and good weren't in his wheelhouse, and she knew just as well. And it was all but certain he meant something more like active. You know what I have, Cole went on, and you know what it could do. Let's just give things a little while longer, Slater said. Part of me, even if it's just a small part, thinks Godfrey could be waiting for us to say something so he can appear a few minutes later with some perfect explanation for his absence that makes us look like even bigger idiots than we do now. Cole mused. I suppose that does add a third option to the other two. So he's either dead and gone, he's busy helping the messengers with something, or he's sitting somewhere waiting for us to show our hand. You know, Valerie, that's just the kind of thing he would do. I'm glad you're here, because I wasn't seeing that. We make quite a team, you and I. Slater grimaced at this, so much so that she knew there would have been no sense in trying to hide her dislike for Cole, even if she had wanted to. We're not a team, John, she said very flatly. We never will be. We might have our backs against the same wall and be fighting to push away from it, but that doesn't make us a team. Cole shrugged. It's like musical chairs. When we're the last two standing, the gloves are off. But until then, let's just concentrate on stacking the odds in our collective favor to make sure the Godfreys and Dings and Fords and McCarthys can only watch on jealously when we do come to compete for the throne. Shall we?